Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. As we do every month, we so enjoy visiting with members of the Hastings Ministerial Association, and Pastor Andrew Langbane is here. He is at Branchline Church in Hastings, and we have so many topics to cover. I can't wait to get right to it. First of all, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, it's great seeing you again, Mo. It's been a little while.
It's been a little while is right. So the last time we spoke, you were looking to maybe do some schooling. How is that going?
Well, it's going. For some reason, God had me start a doctor program when I have 3 children under the age of 10. One of them's 1.5. So, you know, that's been very busy and fun.
And what does that doctorate program look like?
So it's a doctor of ministry with a specific focus of leadership. And so I'm learning different leadership models, how to be a good change leader, how to be a good resilient leader, how to be a good teaching leader and intercultural leader. And so making me a better pastor is basically what the program is doing.
And who are some of your peers in that? Are they professionals? Are they in the ministry world? Who is it?
It's mostly other lead pastors of churches, as well as some like chaplains or other people working in situations where they have sort of a leadership capacity. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be pastors, but it's mostly pastors.
And what are some of the things that you've gleaned from the program?
Oh, yeah, lots of good stuff. You know, one of the things that they kind of talk about is it kind of all starts with an awareness of God. So instead of starting with strategy or programs or things like that, what they really say is like pastors do their best work, ministry leaders do their best work when they are aware of God in their daily walk and are able to listen and speak and follow God in that way.
And so I bet that is fun to have those kinds of discussions with like-minded people.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so interesting, too, because it's like I thought I was going to go and become a better leader, and really they kind of say, let go of whatever you've had before and just sit and dwell with God, and that's the starting place of leadership. And it's just kind of this really beautiful way of doing it, which is it was very invigorating to hear. And mm-hmm. then, of course, they had like several different ways that I hadn't tried before and different spiritual disciplines, and I get to try them out on my church. They're my guinea pigs with those. So it's been pretty fun.
Well, I bet that has been. So when you say there are certain things that you haven't tried before, Can you give an example of that? I'm just curious. That's very intriguing.
Sure. So when they talk about like the awareness of God, they sort of talk about 4 different levels. We might think of there's sort of this level at the very base where we're just not aware of it, of what's going on, and there's some sort of like connection with God. But out of that springs sort of, if you've ever had a moment of like, was that God? You know, like you're kind of aware of something, but you aren't able to articulate it or anything like that. So there's this very base, like instinctual level that we interact with on God. And then from that instinctual level comes this level of sort of feeling God, right? So it's not just was that God? But it's like, oh, I'm afraid, or I'm happy, or I'm joyful, or I'm this, or I'm that. But you feel it, you aren't able to articulate it yet. And then sort of the top level was this articulation of, oh, that was God, and I know that because it feels like this, and I'm able to define it, type of thing. And so really, it kind of became like becoming aware of God wasn't just what you could articulate God to be, but it was really spending time in silence, feeling God, and just paying attention to those little twinges. And when we started doing some of that type of work, it really opened up just interactions with God that weren't all intellectual, but were very like holistic and whole body.
So can you give an example of your own?
Sure. So one of the things is I usually pray, and when I go to pray, I've got my list of prayers that I think of, right? And I pray for my parents, I pray for my brothers, I pray for my kids, you know, pray for my wife, all of those types of things, right? And then we usually say amen and we're done. Well, what they kind of told us was like, once you're done praying for those things, then just be silent. And then whatever comes up within you, whether it's a thought of another person, pray for that person. If it's a pain of a past memory, pray about that memory and visit that with God, right? And so prayer life became not just praying for things, but it became about listening to God. And then some really cool things happened there where it was like, someone came to my mind. I wasn't thinking about them prior to this. I prayed for them. And then when I shoot them a text after prayer saying, hey, you came up in my prayers, they were like, oh my God, how did you know? I was just in the doctor's office, you know? And it's just really cool how like God spurs us to pray for people and to be aware of things that we wouldn't be unless we're silent and listening to God.
And so you're saying, had you just ended your prayers and started off on your day without that silent peace, you would have missed that whole, what some people could chalk up to be a coincidence.
Sure.
But I certainly agree with you.
Yeah.
It's not. It's God's whispering to us.
Yeah, yeah. And I think not just rewarding for me to feel like, oh, God's speaking to me, God's using me, but also how it helps me care for other people that are in the family of God and just for my neighbors around me and things like that. And so now it's not only prayer is just praying for things and asking for things, but prayer becomes part of my purpose here on this earth and being a co-worker with God. And that's really just a cool feeling.
Don't you love having friends like that that really are co-workers of God, that you know if something is going on, there are people that I just know they're prayer warriors.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, just the idea that God is at work in our life and bringing people into our lives by communicating with them, right? That's such a beautiful feeling. And it goes beyond just, oh, I'm friends with people because we do the same thing or we think the same way. But it's really, we're the body of Christ in action. And it's a beautiful thing.
Before we went on the air, you were talking about you have somebody that rents space from you.
Yes.
And it's very cool. And they are a wonderful member of our community that does so much. And that's United Way. How's that partnership going?
Oh, just wonderful. Yeah. You know, that kind of sprung from sort of becoming more aware of God. And one of the things that God put on my heart was our church building sits empty throughout the week, right? We've got an office for me, and then we've got some programs on the weeknights and a service on Sunday morning. But outside of that, we didn't have a lot going on and the church building sat empty. And so God kind of like spoke to us and said, fill this thing up. Fill up our church. And not just on Sunday morning, but just with activity that serves the city of Hastings.
Did God speak directly to you or to other members of staff?
There's kind of a process there where whenever we feel like God is speaking to us, we bring it to the community and we discern it or think about it and pray about it together before moving in that direction. Yep. And so, yeah, it was put on my heart initially and then confirmed by the people in the church as, yep, this feels like what we should be doing.
And so did you reach out to people or did they reach out to you?
So I reached out to people in the initial discernment, kind of got our leadership team and some of the people there. And then we talked as a membership and actually voted on, do we want to have United Way come into our building? And so, you know, once leadership felt like this was a trajectory and I talked with a few of the people in the church, then it became, okay, well, who? And so we started reaching out and it was very interesting with United Way because when we reached out to them, they were in the process of just about to sign somewhere else. And, you know, it made way more sense to sign with us to them. And they just felt like that was a God thing too. So it was really cool.
That is really cool. It's again, it's another one of those wonderful stories that if you connect the dots, you realize how these things are all intertwined.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Andrew, that's so cool. I know one of the things that you wanted to chat about is the term resilience.
Yes.
And I think that is a term that you either, yeah, I mean, you can certainly work on it, but I wish I were more resilient.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, that's been a struggle for me a lot. I am not as resilient as I wish I were.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we become resilient in different ways, right? Like some people think resilience is just surviving, and there's some truth to that. But I think there's a focus on how we survive, right? So when difficult things happen in life or we go through stressful times, do we maintain sort of the heart and character that we want to be as we survive, right? Or do we become sort of curmudgeons, angry, bitter, and not a lot of fun to be around type of stuff, right? And so in studying resiliency and being resilient, it's not just, oh, how do you survive things? What's the best way? But it's also, who do you want to be on the other end of that? And it's just been fascinating to me, especially as a nonprofit leader in the community of Hastings, right? Working with people who are generally in need or difficult situations. And, you know, us nonprofit leaders, we all wear different hats of like trying to keep our organization together, trying to serve our community and also serve Hastings community. It can be really difficult to maintain your soft, gentle, loving character when you do those things. And so it's important to pay attention to that. Yeah.
So resiliency to you means something different, I think, than it means to me.
Yeah. Well, what did you think, like, when you heard the word resiliency?
Well, I just know that a quality I wish I were better at is I usually try to go with the flow. I'm not real great at that, though. I mean, I'm pretty structured.
Yeah.
And so when things don't go quite like I think they're going to go, I have a hard time shifting and then going. Like, if I don't have all my work done, I don't really like to goof off.
Yeah.
Versus some people are like, hey, let's goof off or let's go out to dinner and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And if I have stuff to do, I can't really do that. Okay. I'm not that resilient
You sound like my wife.
Okay. Well, right. I mean, I think that we're all just different in the way we're made up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have goofed off when I knew I had stuff to do, and I think I'm a big fat crab.
Mm-hmm. And all you're thinking about is work, right?
Or just something I have to do. Not necessarily work here, but just I like to have my ducks in a row before I goof off. People think I'm probably somebody that is spontaneous, and I'm not.
Oh, okay. I would think you were a spontaneous
I'm
person.
Not spontaneous. Okay. If I'm spontaneous, it's because I've planned for it.
Yeah, there
you go. Pastor Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things about resiliency and resilience is that we're all uniquely wired, right? And so resilience will mean something different to each person. And so, you know, take for instance, I'm an introvert, right? And so
which is just fascinating to me because you do such a great job in what you are doing, which is, I think you're in a vocation that is made for an extrovert.
Yeah, yeah, that's all God's doing. In fact, I remember being a little kid and telling him, I'll do whatever you want, just don't make me a preacher.
Good gravy.
Here we are.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, I think when it comes to like resilience, so for instance, I'm an introvert, and so going to a party with like more than three people is very taxing on me. So how do I stay resilient in that while still being me, right? Am I just going to like duck out into the bathroom, get on my phone for an hour in there, or am I going to like leave earlier? Am I going to just be miserable there so people know not to invite me in the future, right?
I don't see you doing that, but
whatever. Yeah, yeah. And so like it's, you know, part of resilience for me is sort of like as I step into that situation, I go, okay, well, what good could come from this, and it changed my perspective so that I can do something in that situation that is beneficial and rewarding and not just see all the negatives in it and complain about it, you know? And so there's several like things that we can do that sort of shift our perspective, shift how we approach situations that can make us more resilient in those situations. And I think part of it is like finding a purpose in that situation, you know? I had someone in my congregation who had just gotten a cancer diagnosis. They were going to go to chemotherapy, right? Like, who wants to be resilient there? But I said, look, you know, that's just what you've got going on right now. But I said, maybe you could go in and find a purpose while you're there. Like, maybe your purpose is to be the person that's actually going through these treatments that's kind and generous to the nurses that are there, you know, who are struggling with all these things. Maybe you find a friend there that you start having conversations with, and those conversations can be life-giving to them or to you, right? And so, like, when we think about something I have to survive through, oftentimes we might just focus on the negative, but if we can actually shift it and figure out a purpose while I'm doing that, well, then it becomes something else, and it's easier to be resilient in that situation.
Great advice.
Yeah.
So I know you were very interested in, as you mentioned, the nonprofits in Hastings, and you're kicking around something that you would like to perhaps start.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a nonprofit leader and you haven't heard about this before, there's a reason, because I'm still kicking it around in my brain. But one of the things that I have seen done in other communities and I'm very interested in is how can we gather together as nonprofit leaders and sort of talk about how do we serve our city of Hastings the best way, right? How can we be working together and not competing? How can we be relying on each other and introducing the people that we encounter into those situations? So for instance, like Hastings Family Service or Allies Support Services or Rise Up Recovery, just to name a few, right? You've got these services that are in the community, but not everyone in the community knows about them. And they all have a different sort of function on what they do and how they do it. And what I kind of want to do is just gather us together as leaders and say, how do we remain resilient as we do this work? Because it's hard work, mm-hmm. and we could probably make more money elsewhere, you know, and less stress and all those types of things, but we feel called to do this work. So how do we stay healthy and resilient as we do that? And then also talk about, like, what are we doing so we could be aware of each other and the programs that can serve. So when someone comes into my church, I could say, and they have a need, I could say, oh, this program over here run by this person is doing just what you need. Let me introduce you. And then the third thing I'd like to do as the group is just sort of look at our city of Hastings and say, what's not being addressed right now? Is there a need in our community that is sort of flying under the radar, going unmet in a way, and say, is that something that we could do? Or do we need to, like, reach out to others, like government or other groups within the community, or start something that could possibly address those needs? And I think that the more we communicate, the more we work together, the more we know about each other, the better Hastings is, right? And the better that we can help our community grow and thrive and be a healthy community.
I think those are really some opportunities that be great to see happen, come together. So please keep us posted on that.
I will do that.
Pastor Andrew, if people would like to come to Branchline Church and worship with you, when can they do that, please?
Yeah, so we're Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and Branchline Church is located at 518 2nd Street East, just on the other side of the railroad tracks, you know, so we're those people from the other side of the tracks. Or you could check out our website, branchlinechurch.com, or on YouTube, you can search Branchline Church, and all of our messages are on there, and you can sort of listen to what we talk about on a Sunday morning.
Oh, that's awesome. So great to see you. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks, Mo.
Really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings. To pray.